The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Morning Invest, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. I'm a longtime real estate investor, so I invest in God's money. That's soil, real estate, gold, silver, things that are not going away. They were here for thousands of years. They will be here for another thousands of years. And I'm also an investor of the people's currency, that is cryptocurrency as well. And that's what my biggest focus is right now, is helping you turn these short-term profits into long-term buy and holds. And we're live every morning right here at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. So if you're new to the channel, please subscribe. Love to have you subscribe to the channel. We also have our daily newsletter that we publish every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. But we publish it around 6 in the morning, and you can read it over your cup of coffee. Very simple to do. Just go to morninginvest.com, put in your email address, and you'll be added to our list. It supports our show, keeps us doing what we're doing here. There is the URL. Just go to morninginvest.com, and it's free. Free. All right, let's check the markets this morning. We're going to get to the markets actually in a second, but we just got some breaking news, and I want to take this. So Amazon officially now buying MGM. Let's listen in a little bit here on this breaking news on Amazon buying MGM, $8.45 billion deal.
But as for the deal itself, guys, I mean, we did talk a lot about it yesterday. That $8.45 billion price tag is certainly more, as I said yesterday, than any other potential suitor for these assets was willing to pay. In fact, a lot more, but that may not matter for Amazon. Obviously, we know it's a $1.6 plus trillion dollar market value. Its cost of capital is near zero. I exaggerate a bit, but you know what we're saying here. Basically, it doesn't cost them much. And it will bulk up significantly, of course, the content library that they have available for their customers who are prime customers. There's hundreds of millions of them now. Right. Most of them are signed on primarily to get same-day delivery or next-day delivery, but a lot of people certainly enjoy and like the ability to watch movies and shows.
You go to Amazon Roku, right? You go to Amazon and see what Amazon's offering.
Absolutely. It's one of one of the important competitors. We've been talking a lot about it, of course, with the prospective merger of Time Warner and Discovery creating a new colossus, so to speak, for a direct-to-consumer offering of HBO Max and Discovery Plus and whatever else they're going to bring to bear there. But Amazon is a significant player, and the question has been, how much are they going to try to bulk up what their offerings are? This doesn't all do it in any way. This helps. There will continue to be some questions as to what Amazon is willing to do here. Would they ever consider going even bigger? Would they ever consider trying to do something along the likes of a Viacom? Unclear that that would be the case, unclear where or if there would be real interest in getting something like that done, although we do know they like.
So some breaking news on Amazon buying MGM for $8.45 billion. That includes, can you guys name any MGM movies? I mean, besides like James Bond?
Oh,
James
well, they're going to get
franchise
the
franchise will be now part of this.
The Little Rascals, the Three Stooges, all the old Shirley Temple movies, all those old, I mean, Wizard of Oz, I believe. Like, there's a bunch of MGM stuff.
Yeah, so I guess it's a big purchase. I mean, there, you know, this is the play right now. All these big content, and all of this is being consolidated. You know, we talked about this on the show last week that all of these big media companies are just consolidating under a few billionaires. You know, so Jeff Bezos now owns the Washington Post. He's got MGM Studios now under the Amazon umbrella. I mean, you've got Time Warner and their conglomerate. You've got, I mean, Disney, which, you know, owns all the Marvel entities and everything else. So, I mean, and then we've had other recent acquisitions. I mean, AT&T, of course, rolling together with what did AT&T just buy? Why can't I remember?
I'm drawing a blank now too.
They just they just joined forces with, and why I can't think of it off the top of my head. Anyway, someone drop it in a chat. If anyone has remembers from last week what this was, I can't even keep all these mergers together on top of my head right now. Anyway, breaking news on Amazon. Let's take a look at their stock right now because Amazon, there's some big Amazon news this morning. We're going to get to crypto. We're going to talk about Bitcoin's price here in a few minutes. But there's a lot of big business news stories we got to get to. And one of them, of course, is this Amazon being hit with this massive lawsuit from Washington, D.C. So the District of Columbia is suing Amazon for a couple of reasons. Not good for Amazon. And the reason that they're being sued is because they think that they're basically a monopoly. Now, Amazon hit with this massive antitrust price fixing lawsuit yesterday. They say that basically in the suit, it says that Amazon blocks sellers from offering better deals elsewhere, which then leads to higher prices for you, the consumer. And here's what I'm quoting now from the lawsuit. It says, Amazon wins because it controls pricing across the online retail sales market, putting itself at an advantage over everyone else. Then these restrictions, they say, allow Amazon to build and maintain monopoly power. The suit claims that Amazon forbids third-party sellers from offering lower prices on other websites and then charges the sellers up to 40% of each sale in fees. They say thereby allowing Amazon to build and maintain monopoly power in violation of district law, the suit claims, basically saying that they are, they're a monopoly. I don't know if that's going to play out. We'll have to see in court how that plays out. D.C. Attorney Carol Carl Racine, who is the one that filed this, is the first to file an antitrust suit. But other states' attorneys generals have made similar complaints about Amazon, and the suit is asking a court to prohibit these practices and break up the company if necessary. So will Amazon be broken up? Can you imagine a bunch of little Amazons running around? Little Bezoses running around? Amazon refutes these claims and says that Racine has it exactly backwards. They say that Amazon says the company claims that sellers set their own prices and this suit could result in higher prices for consumers. What do you think about this? I mean, is Amazon a monopoly? And are they trying to keep consumer prices from going up in other places?
Well, I mean, we know for a fact that they started that brand Amazon Basics to take on other sellers. And we know that when they first got established, they lowballed books just to get people to buy from them, knowing that they didn't take a profit. So, you know, they have all kinds of practices like that where they try to take any product that they see making a huge profit on Amazon, they will create their own to compete with it and undercut them price-wise.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
but on the other hand,
we'll find out. And I guess,
you know, they are saving people money, you know, when they do that. It is a benefit to the consumer because some of those things really are overpriced and shouldn't be priced the way that they are. So, you know, in some ways they're doing a good thing, but in other ways they're undercutting people. So, like, you can look at it either way.
Yeah. So we've got, you know, and then you look at Amazon's price today. Let's take a look at Amazon's price here. I had it up a second ago. Amazon at this hour, I mean, this company, I just don't know how. $3,259 a share. And just look at that popping. Even despite the lawsuit popping. Nice. Up, you know, less than a point, but still nonetheless up again, Amazon. Can anything stop Amazon? I don't know. But if you're just joining us, the breaking news is that Amazon just bought MGM Studios in a mega deal, $8.45 billion deal that gets them that whole catalog of like James Bond movies, that whole back catalog. Where do you come down on this? I'm just curious where you come down on this. Like, are you inclined to like really subscribe to a service if they've just got a huge back catalog of like old stuff? And let me know in the chat, like pop them up here on the screen. Are you guys inclined to like, is that more appealing to you when you buy into when you're investing in one of these streaming services like Amazon Prime? Are you, well, wow, they have all the old Little Rascals episodes. So that's why I want it. For me, I want the new stuff.
Yeah, I do. I like to go back and watch that old stuff. So that would appeal to me. Yeah, I already have Amazon Prime, so I'm not going to, you know, if I didn't already have that, I wouldn't invest in something new. But I am one of those that, you know, goes in and watches old movies probably more than I watch new. So that does appeal to me. Yeah.
Now you're talking like old, like black and white movies, or you're looking at stuff that's,
I
like,
mean, the spectrum. You know, I like to go back and watch old spaghetti westerns and, you know, just whatever, Clint Eastwood movies. And I just like those old movies.
Roshonda Man says, no, I just want the new stuff like Netflix. I know with Netflix, that's the thing with Netflix, man. They've got so many great shows, so many great true crime series. I've been so gripped by all those shows that are like, the murder in, Murder in Mormon Land or something like that?
Yeah.
With this guy who like, who defrauded the Mormon church and like that was friggin' fascinating. Like that, you know, there's like a new heist movie, like the Greatest Art Heist series, about like how they managed to get these huge paintings out of like major museums and the biggest one in history. And I have that on my to watch list, you know? So I love that stuff. And, you know, and hey, Amazon, didn't Amazon win? No, Hulu had, who was the movie company that won the best picture with Nomadland? Was that Hulu or was that Netflix?
That was Hulu. That was on Hulu, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah, I think Hulu has originals as well, and I think that was one of them.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, Amazon's price. If you're an Amazon investor, you're gonna like today. They're buying MGM. They're faced with this lawsuit, and even despite this lawsuit, I mean, I think this is just, I don't know. Are you a monopoly? I mean, I don't know. There's plenty of other direct-to-consumer people using Shopify and shipping boxes of stuff to people. I don't know how you can. I don't know. You know, is Walmart a monopoly? You know, just because they put other companies out of business? I don't know. Let me know your thoughts on this. If you're just joining us, Amazon buying MGM in a big, big deal as media continues to consolidate. More news to get to here. I want to get to. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, I would not categorize them necessarily as a monopoly. They're not a good company, you know, if you look at some of their practices, but I don't think I would consider that a monopoly. I think that the definition is not accurate on that in that case.
Yeah, I don't see how that's, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe they're just trying to, you know, DC is trying to stick it to big tech or something. I don't know.
I mean, Viacom, that's
we'll
a monopoly.
See how this all plays out. Yeah. We got more news to get to. I want to talk crypto in a minute. We're going to chart some Bitcoin numbers here. I'm going to tell you why I sold out of Bitcoin this morning. We'll look at some of that. We're going to see if Bitcoin could hit 20,000. We got a ton of news to get to today, but I want to show you this breaking news that we just got in just moments ago. Also, more breaking news this morning. So Steve Bannon, former Trump advisor, the indictment against him has just been dismissed. The former chief strategist for Trump was accused of defrauding donors in a $25 million fund to build a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. And he had been pardoned by the president. So now, because of this, it was dismissed. An indictment against Steve Bannon was dismissed over the objection of prosecutors who said it should stand despite the ex-president's decision to pardon his former chief strategist. And the dismissal, we called it a proper course of action because it comes down to the pardon, right? There you go. You know, people often say that because, you know, when the pardon, oftentimes a pardon, it does reflect a, basically a probable cause of guilt, right? Like we're seeing now with this Matthew Gaetz stuff and Joel Greenberg and out of Florida, it's like they were like lobbying the president to get a pardon. Well, why would you need that? Like, David, do you feel like you needed to call up Trump to get a pardon for anything? Like, I don't. I didn't.
No.
You know? But if you feel that way, then there's something there, right? There's some kind of, isn't that really an admission of guilt? Like, and you have to be specific about it too, right? You have to say like, here's why I want a pardon. This thing that I may or may not have done, like this is the thing I need a pardon for. Okay, why do you need that then? You know, and so, well, I guess the judge though disagreed. Manhattan jurist said it was not in the practice of the region's federal courts to remove a defendant from a case docket without resolving the indictment. And she noted that the pardon does not by itself render a defendant innocent of the alleged crime, nor eliminate probable cause of guilt. All right. We'll see. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what they're going to do about it. Anyway, some breaking news. We had Amazon here. We have Wall Street CEOs about to testify on Capitol Hill this morning over CEO pay. So these guys that are making, you know, millions of dollars while American people are suffering, we're going to hear more from them today on Capitol Hill. And Steve Bannon also has his indictment thrown out by a judge. But we are still worrying. I'm watching this. It's going to be, some are saying this could be in indictment summer for the Trump team. This breaking this morning is as a grand jury has been impaneled. So we're going to keep our eye on this summer. It's going to be a crazy, crazy summer in Trump world. And what big question too, whether he hang out in Mar-a-Lago or he's going to go up to New Jersey. If he's in Mar-a-Lago, will Ron DeSantis, if there's some sort of indictment, will he be like allow him to be extradited to New York? Or will, you know, if he's in New Jersey at his Bedminster place there, then the New Jersey governor, Democrat, won't care. He'll be like, yeah, take him, you know. But Ron DeSantis, his buddy down there in Florida, it's going to be a different animal. All right, I'm sorry. Let's go to the markets, shall we?
You're going to say he'll end up over the place. He'll end up in the, what was it, the Venezuelan consulate or whatever? Where was Julian Assange?
Was he Venezuelan or Ecuadorian?
Ecuadorian,
or I don't know.
Yeah, Ecuadorian. So
Trump could be hanging out. Wouldn't that be ironic? He'd be hanging out in Ecuador with Julian Assange, the very person he wouldn't pardon.
He'll grow a beard.
It'd be like a bosom buddies. That would be a great like odd couple or like bosom buddies, you know, with like an 80s sitcom like theme song.
You'd have to get video of them like the first introduction when he walks in the door, you know, like
they walk in and like there's a slow camera like zooms in on his face. He's like, ding, shake hands. Oh no,
I'm going to be the best roommate you've ever had.
Donald is vacuuming, and Julian Assange just has his feet up, and he's like, "Would you pick up your feet?"
How am I supposed to make this rug look the best that any rug's ever looked?
Where's all the gold in here? You live like this? Hey, I know you're friends with Pamela Anderson. Can you have her come over? All right, let's look at the markets, shall we? We got a lot happening this morning in the crypto space. You know, just before the show here, Bitcoin hitting, it was a little over 40,000. It's down about 39 right now, hovering around this price range, but certainly went up from its 38, 37 just a few days ago. I don't think it's going to hit that 42. I mean, I don't think it's going to get there. So I think we could be in this retrace moment. We'll dive into the charts in just a few minutes. We've got other news to get to. But Ethereum at this hour also down just a little bit, but up overall nicely over the past 24 hours. So hit about 2,900 earlier this morning. Doge also, our little friend, the meme coin, 35 cents for Doge. It's been hanging out at 35 cents, 30 cents, 35 cents, not doing much. But look at gold. Look at some God's money right here. Up again. Again, folks, $1,900 for gold. If you started watching my show or if you've been watching my show for a few weeks now, you'll know that I've been saying gold prices are going to go up as inflation continues. We're going to get to our big story here in a moment about the U.S. dollar. As the U.S. dollar starts to be knocked off the perch as the world's, you know, reserve currency, guess, you know, what's going to replace it? Is gold going to replace it as a store of value? Will crypto replace it? I don't know. Will the Chinese renminbi take it up? What about euros? I don't know, but gold was $1,770 just about a week and a half ago. And it's heading to 2,000. A number of gold experts are here on the show who've pointed out that this is going to be at 2,000, maybe even 2,100 before the year is out. So gold, a store of value. I don't look at gold as a wealth building mechanism. I look at it as a way to protect your money. Again, if you've got your money in US dollars, you're just waiting for it to, you know, a US dollar today is worth less tomorrow. So if I have $100 and I put it in a US bank and I'm getting a 0.01% return on that investment, it's a horrible return on investment. I'm actually losing money against inflation. and I'm losing money. That's why, you know, we say savers are losers. If you're saving money at US dollars in a bank, like we were taught to do as kids, you know, put your money in a piggy bank. We were taught wrong. We were educated wrong about how to build wealth. That is not the way that you do it. You will lose money as a result. So, you know, this is what we're looking at this morning. Here's the Financial Times. The demise of the dollar, reserve currencies in the era of going big. Yeah. Billionaire U.S. fund manager Stanley Druckenmiller, the legend Stanley Druckenmiller, just delivered an apocalyptic warning that the dollar could cease to be the predominant global currency within 15 years. 15 years. He had this to say. Let me see if I can pull up a sound. I had some sound here. Let me see if I can cut to it.
But first, Stan Druckenmiller, CEO of Duquesne Family Office. Stan just wrote a new op-ed in the Wall Street Journal. In his words, the Fed playing with fire, clinging to an emergency policy after the emergency has passed. Chairman Powell courting asset bubbles. And Stan, in the past, you have pointed out that the Fed has stayed a little bit too long, I think, after the financial crisis with emergency accommodation. But you seem to have taken your criticism up to a new level, to the point of, if you combine fiscal policy that we're seeing with the monetary policy, it's the scariest combination in the post-World War II period, in your view?
Certainly the most radical policy by a long shot that I've ever seen relative to the economic circumstances. Let's not forget that Ben Bernanke at the peak was doing $85 billion a month. We are now back to normalization on GDP. We're above trend on retail sales. Funny, last year at the Economics Club, around this time, I said that a V recovery was a fantasy. I couldn't have been more wrong, but this is all about risk reward. I understand why the Fed and Congress did what they did at the time. I think it was the right decision on a risk reward basis. But when the facts change, you have to change. And the facts have changed dramatically since then. And yes, I can't find any period in history where monetary and fiscal policy were this out of step with the economic circumstances, not one.
I mean, if that's not troubling, not one. And the Fed continues to print money. He brought up Ben Bernanke during the last financial crisis when they were spending about $85 billion a month buying up junk bonds and all of this crap to keep us afloat. 85. Now we're well over that per month. You know, Chairman Powell and the Fed continues to spend hundreds of billions of dollars a month giving cheap money to Wall Street. It's not sustainable. So are we facing the demise of the dollar? What's going to happen next? You know, I cannot find a period in history where monetary and fiscal policy were this out of step with the economic circumstances. Well, the dollar, though, like, as others...
I was going to say really quick that people are going to, you know, China and all these other people are going to get blamed for not wanting to hold the U.S. dollar. And that's, if anything happens to U.S. dollar, that's who they're going to blame it on, Russia and China. But can you blame them for not wanting to hold a currency that's this bad? That, I mean, it's like almost valueless at this point. I mean, it's going that way.
It is. I mean, it is. We're seeing negative returns. I mean, I don't even know. And the only reason we even have, like, on the 10-year treasury note, even like 1.5, whatever it is this morning, I think it's 1. Why it's even there is because, you know, the Fed continues to buy them. The only reason that the 10-year treasury note has any value is because the Fed is buying it. And I mean, look, you know, and China, you know, China just buys them up. So look at this. I mean, you know, other foreign exchange allocated reserves by currencies. Look at this. Pounds, sterling, Chinese renminbi is there, U.S. dollars as a reserve currency, euros. That's Q4 of 2020. You know, but this is what we're starting to see. You're going to start to see, look, China's holdings of U.S. treasuries. Look at this. Explosion of China's holdings of U.S. treasuries. Like, what do you think is going to happen here? I mean, you're starting to see this erosion, and we're going to start to move in to these other areas now. You know, are we going to start to move into, into crypto? Is there going to be some other store of value?
a lot of people don't realize that, you know, if China wanted to, China could crash our, like, they wouldn't have to go to war with us with military. They could kill us financially if they wanted to in one day. If they just flooded all those bonds and everything right back to us, like, they could take us down economically in a second.
Yeah, and of course, you know, and they absolutely could. Of course, you know, the downside of that is that the shock waves would crush them as well. You know,
totally.
The tsunami of the United States collapse financially would crush China as well. So they can't have that. But, you know, is the dollar going to retain a hegemonic? It's one of my favorite words, hegemony. Hegemony. Try to say that five times fast. Everyone at home, try to say hegemony. It's your word of the day. If the dollar can retain its hegemonic role, that's only because they've had some other advantages, and some of these other currencies around the world have just not been strong. I mean, the euro relative to the euro, relative to the Chinese renminbi, relative to the, you know, Japanese yuan. So what are the alternatives? And is it crypto? I mean, or is it gold? Why are these countries stocking up on gold? You know, why has China been hoarding gold? And then you look at gold prices this morning as it had, I mean, again, up to $1,900, and silver even is like a great purchasing play right now. Just up again. Every day we watch this, it's like a slap in the face if you don't pick up gold, in my opinion, you know, because it's just going to continue to go up against this U.S. dollar, which is continuing to go down. And so, you know, you look at gold. Gold steadies near a four-month high amid all of this inflation. You know, what about the euro? It has always been a lack of government bond market, the lack of a government bond market there capable of providing safe assets on a scale comparable to the United States. They don't have it. What about Beijing? You know, can they challenge the dollar? They're trying to. Where else do we go? There's others that say, you know, that we could see Bitcoin. But is it so volatile? I mean, can you think of Bitcoin right now being the world's reserve currency? Like as a stable rock? I mean, you see these swings that we see in Bitcoin. Can you imagine how volatile things would be if crypto was right now the world's stable currency? I think it eventually will be when it gets to a volume level. But right now, as they point out in the FT, the wild card in this debate is digital currency. Bitcoin moves several percentage points on a single tweet from Elon Musk. It lacks credibility as a potential reserve currency. But Mark Carney, while at Governor Bank of England, suggested that technology has a potential to disrupt the network externalities. The benefit of using a currency that many others are using that prevent the incumbent gold reserve currency from being displaced. He thinks that a new hegemonic, there we go. He used my word, hegemonon. I think they spelled it wrong.
Yeah, they definitely spelled it wrong.
Hegemony. Hegemonic. No, Hegemonic. Yeah, I guess they spelled it right?
Did they?
Yeah.
Hegemonic?
Yeah. Let me just use my little Siri. Hegemonic. They did. Yeah, hegemonic. They got it right. Okay. Their currency could be provided through a network of digital currencies issued by central banks. This would enable spillovers from shocks in the United States through exchange rates and trades to become less synchronized across countries, while the dollar's influence over global financial conditions might likewise decline. Interesting.
Might. I mean, isn't it already?
Exactly. Like, what more evidence do you need? $25 trillion in debt? Gold prices are surging on these inflation. Look at these inflation numbers, these inflation risks. As you know, I know, look, like other crypto channels that just focus on crypto. They just focus on like trades. I'm telling you, folks, you've got to educate yourself. You've got to educate yourself about what's happening in the broader economy. Crypto does not live in a vacuum. Like, I'm a real estate investor. I'm a crypto investor. You have to know all of these pieces to be an intelligent with your money. You have to. You have to know what's going on with the U.S. dollar. Like, if you just want to see some guy with a, you know, headset on sitting there doing crypto trades, like, this is not the channel for you. Like, our goal is to help you take those short-term crypto profits. We're going to show you some great trades, turn those into store of value to protect your wealth and your family, whether it's real estate investing, protecting your assets in other ways, whether it's precious metals. But if you've got your money sitting in U.S. currency in a bank, if you've learned nothing from my show over the past year, please take this to heart. your money is going to be worth less in a month than it is today as this inflation continues to take off.
Let me ask you a question. Real quick. So when you're saying that about, you know, not keeping it in U.S. dollars, like you're talking, because like if you have money that's sitting there, but it's like constantly like working capital, you know, like you're running a business or something and you're paying people and all that other stuff, you have to keep a percentage of it in the U.S. dollar, right, in order to do that? Or do they have ways that you can use this other stuff in order to push your stuff like that forward?
Well, I mean, you could use a you know, you could use an account that lets you sit in interest-bearing account that maybe is not tied to the U.S. dollar. I know, like, if you're daily having to keep U.S. dollars moving and burning and churning right now, yeah, it's a little difficult, but you could use an account like Outlet, like Outlet Finance, right? If you go to morninginvest.com/outlet, that you can get a 9% return. 9%. Just having it in your account. Just having your money in that account, and it's backed by Ethereum. It's backed by Ethereum. So you're on the blockchain. And then if you need to transfer money out of that for working capital for your business, then you do it. And it's a very quick, you know, transfer money. It's like a bank, you know, back and forth. It's not a savings account. It's a savings account alternative. And it's backed by Ethereum, a cryptocurrency. So that's why they're able to get a huge interest rate savings. So for instance, for your business, like if you are looking for working capital for your business, you could keep it in that account like I do. And then what I need to transfer $5,000-$10,000 over for a purchase, whatever it is, you know, then you can do that. But now you've earned interest on that while it's been sitting there instead. And it's been tokenized, you know, it's been turned into crypto and staked as Ethereum in that time frame. And then when you need access to it, you just transfer it back and it converts back to US dollars. Now, of course, that is, you know, that's a great way to do it. There's other methods to do that. But, you know, you shouldn't have I wouldn't suggest you have like a massive bank account just sitting there that's doing nothing, because that working capital is not working for you. It's losing money.
Yeah, US dollars. Makes sense.
I mean, it's just a
So basically your goal would be to where your working capital is off of that interest, not the actual money that's sitting there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine being able to scrape off those working capital profits, right? And be able to use that for your business. So you're scraping profits out of that account and use that as your working capital. So, you know, there's smart ways to do this. I know we have to deal in US dollars for now, but that's the future, folks. Like now you're seeing all of these companies and you're seeing state laws trying to set up this new banking infrastructure, you know, around cryptocurrency. I mean, look at Nebraska. Nebraska and their new crypto law that was just passed yesterday. It's a pretty big deal. Nebraska has allowed now, it's the first state to become the first state to allow crypto banking, right? It was the Financial Innovation Act signed into law. Like, hey, you want like money to pour into Nebraska? Well, Governor Pete Ricketts did it. He signed the law, LB 649, yesterday. It's the Nebraska Financial Innovation Act. And the bill was authorized by Senator Mike Flood of Norfolk, establishes digital asset banks as a kind of new financial institution. The banks would allow customers to deposit cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Dogecoin. They say my goal is to grow the Northeast Nebraska by helping create high wage, high skilled jobs. This bill allows Nebraska to seize the opportunity to be at the front of the line when it comes to innovation in the new information economy. So the second state. Okay, sorry. So second state, Wyoming already did it, you know? And look, the thing with Wyoming, like if you don't understand like how this stuff works, like there's a reason people incorporate their businesses in places like Wyoming, because the laws there are meant to encourage business development. So the reason that you would get set up an LLC in Wyoming is because it's got great protections for you as a business owner. And now Wyoming and Nebraska are allowing you, through this Nebraska Financial Innovation Act, it's going to attract cryptocurrency operators that want regulation, structure, and accountability. They'll be able to move in there. They'll be able to keep customers safe by you being able to deposit Bitcoin in these banks, basically, and know that they're protected. They'll be regulated, which is good for the industry. It legitimizes cryptocurrency. Folks, we're already seeing this happening at the state level. Like, how long until we have our Fed currency, we have, you know, stable coins in the United States, and how when the Fed steps in, or the Treasury steps in and begins to regulate crypto in a bigger way. Joanne Morgan says, Clayton, I know I've asked this before, but do you truly believe that Outlet is safe? I can only tell you that I believe it because my money is in that account. So I use Outlet because my money is in there. So, I mean, I trust it because my money is in there. And in the 2 years now that I've been using them, I've never had any issues, and I've had made great returns. They went from 6% interest up to 9% interest. It's backed by Ethereum. I also own Ethereum. So because it's staked on the Ethereum network, the Ethereum ecosystem, like, I'm a big believer in Ethereum. And I'm a big believer in Outlet. So as a bank, as a way to save and, you know, have your money in that system, it's a great way to do it. But there's other ways to do it. You could open a Coinbase account, you know, and you could stake your money on Coinbase in their currency and get a return. You can open a BlockFi account and do the same thing and get 9, 10% return. So it all works on that same principle. So thanks for the question. We got a lot more news to get to. We're going to get to these Bitcoin numbers in just a second, but I do want to tell you about our show sponsor today and how you guys can make some great money and get some free stocks, by the way. And that's our friends over at Public. You got to follow me on Public because this is where I've been doing trades. Yesterday, if you were following me on Public, you would have seen that I bought Ford stock and I sold a company called Smile LEDs yesterday. I made some good profits. And I sold, and I got a bunch of you on Public messaged me, and you say, hey, Clayton, why did you sell? And I said, well, I had a stop loss set or a profit set to take profits on this. And it's really like a social network where you can watch other people's trades. It's a social network, so you can really like ask questions like, why are you trading this way? It's a great learning platform as well. And the best part is that when you open an account, you have to use our link right there, public.com/morning. You get a free slice of premium stock. Like, you want a Peloton stock? You want an Apple stock? You get a free slice of that stock when you go to public.com/morning. It's right there on your screen. We do have a mandatory disclaimer, which is valid for U.S. residents 18 and older, subject to account approval. You got to see public.com/disclosures and then not investment advice. But the best part is it's made up of 40% women. Is 40% women on this platform, 45% POCs. So again, you know, there's so many great women on here talking about trades, you know, and it's so great. I'm glad it's not like just a male dominated place. So it's a great place to learn. It's great for creating more inclusive culture for investing. They want to open the stock market for everyone. They don't promote risky or gambling behavior, you know. They also like sort of warn you like, hey, this is a small cap stock. You might want to be careful. You know, like when I bought that Smile LED stock, I knew it was a cheap small market cap stock. And they set up a little warning popped up, you know, but I bought it and made some money on it, but I was smart about it. So go to public.com/morning to follow me on public.com. See what I'm investing in. You can start investing today with as little as $1. You'll even get a free slice of stock when you join. Just go to public.com/morning to download the public.com app. So I am a huge fan of Public for some of my stock trades. And like I said, Ford. So Ford news this morning. Ford announced, remember last week we were covering the new Ford F-150, that
Lightning?
Beast of an electric, the Ford F-150 Lightning. Is that what, let me pull that up here. Ford F-150 Lightning. And last week we had those pre-orders, right? So the pre-orders for this thing, they announced when Ford announced this new massive truck that it was going to, they were aiming for pre-orders of 40,000. Like, they were going to manufacture 40,000 in their first year. That was their goal, okay? And in the first few minutes, they had sold 50% of them. Now, when I say sold, they had 50 reservations, right? People put up $100 to do a reservation. This morning, Ford announced that they are now putting an additional $30 billion into research and development for EV, for electric vehicles, batteries, car production, everything. $30 billion over the next, up until the year 2025. That's huge. Not only that, they announced that 40,000 truck target that they were trying to hit, they have 76,000 pre-orders now in 1 week. Not bad. So there is incredible demand for this electronic, these EVs, which is one of the reasons why we've got this big story this morning. It's probably, probably one of the top stories out there is President Biden this morning. And if you've got stocks in the mining sector, or you're looking for a way to take advantage of this infrastructure play right now from President Biden, how much money is going to go into this market? Where can you make money from this infrastructure bill, the stimulus that we're going to see in the coming weeks? President Biden is now looking for more electric vehicle metals, EV metals, and it's going to basically have to go to Canada. He basically said, look, we want to be the number one in the world for electric vehicle production and EV production and electric vehicle aspirations all across the United States. That's including electric charging stations, all of it. And so Biden's like, we cannot rely on just the United States producers. They don't make enough. So the Biden administration is going to resort to buying metals from overseas, including Canada, Australia, Brazil, and other countries. He has huge plans for the electric vehicle adoption in the country. And he says, basically, with our supply chain right now, we just can't meet it. Now, according to Reuters, they're calling this a blow to U.S. miners, you know, who hoped that Biden would rely primarily on domestic source materials and metals, as his campaign had signaled last autumn. We're just going to get U.S. stuff, but we can't do it. Like, you know, just can't do it. The U.S. is going to have to source materials from Canada, Australia, Brazil. And once the materials are mined, then they can be processed in the United States. But the U.S. is also investing in recycling programs that will help plug the holes in the supply chain. But those programs are years away from any kind of adoption right now. But look here on your screen, and Seeking Alpha has some good stocks here. So among the metals that we would maybe possibly see, you know, you might take advantage of here, some different ones like Freeport McRonin. You can go to Seeking Alpha. I'll link this article up in the show notes so you can see some of their different picks. But you see a lot of these are up right now because of the demand. And so FCX, so we got TECK, Tech Resources Limited, also up. HBM is up. SCCO, Southern Copper Corporation, is up. You know, there's, well, why is this one? First Quantum Minerals. But a lot of these guys are up because the demand is off the charts right now. So again, if you are looking for a metal play, copper, nickel, any of this in the face of what the demands are for the environment and this EV play from the infrastructure package, I would say these are probably some good plays. Anyway, I'll link that up in the show notes so you can take advantage of that. All right, let's talk about Bitcoin. There is some interesting things to think about with Bitcoin and taxes. I saw some people asking me, you know, hey, should I sell? And again, I am not a financial advisor. So I cannot tell you when to sell crypto or buy crypto or anything. Like, you need to make your own decision. I only tell you on this show what I'm looking at and what I'm buying. But if you are a crypto trader, you actually have a big tax leg up on those stock market investors. Here's why. If you lost a lot of money lately in the market, then you can actually use this to your advantage, because crypto losses are treated differently than those of stocks and mutual funds. I bet many of you might not have even known that. That's because there's a rule called the wash sale rule. The wash sale rule doesn't apply to crypto. And it's a big deal. And it's twofold. There's two reasons why this is huge. You know, you can sell crypto for a loss, right? Like, for instance, David bought some Bitcoin a few weeks ago, right? We were talking about it here on the show. He sold it for a loss, okay? Well, the good news is that you can actually use that loss to then reduce or eliminate capital gains taxes on other investments that you won, that you did well on, right? That's, and stock traders can do that. But then you can quickly buy back the crypto that they sold so you don't miss out on the rebound price, which is what we're going to show you in this chart today on Bitcoin. So that first benefit that we just talked about, it's called tax loss harvesting. That's stocks. You can do that with the stock market. You can do that with other securities. That's not just strictly for crypto. So stock traders can take those losses. Oh my God, I sold, you know, this stock and I lost a lot of money. And then all those losses you can use to offset the money you made in real estate investing or something else, right? Or other income. So that's been, you can always do that. However, the second benefit isn't available to stock investors. You're not allowed to buy the same security within 30 days after a sale. So like if I lost a lot of money selling Ford stock or something, right? I can't see that it plummets and then buy it back in again right away and then ride it up and make profits. Can't do that. It's illegal. It's 30 days. I can't touch it. But with crypto, you can. And it's because the IRS doesn't consider cryptocurrencies a security. They're considered property. This is a huge advantage of crypto. I don't know how many of you know about this or understood this tactic. The reason it's considered property, it's just like buying a house, right? So I could buy an investment property. I maybe sold it for a loss. I could buy another property in that, and I can do it rinse and repeat over and over again. That's property. Well, that's exactly what you can do with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. So let me just give you an example. Let's take an example of like someone who bought high and sold low, like during this period. So let's say we have someone who bought, sold low in like lost $35,000, right? Same person also sells stocks and mutual funds for a $35,000 gain. Well, the Bitcoin loss would erase taxes on those capital gains. That's amazing. Further, this same investor then could have quickly then jumped back in and bought Bitcoin near its $30,000 low over the weekend and then participated in this massive run-up, right? Making more than 10 or 20%. And then sell, make those profits. And then it plunges back down again. If it reaches 100,000, you're making some great money, right? So you can keep doing this and riding this sort of undulating pattern. But you can't do that with a stock investor. So the stock investor would miss out on that, on 30 days of potential gains after a sale because of these wash sale rules. So it's an amazing thing. I don't know how many of you are aware of this with Bitcoin, but these are the tax things I want to be able to teach you here on this show that you can use to your advantage in this space. I don't know that it's going to change. I don't think it's going to change. The Fed has once again reaffirmed that it is considered property, not a security. And of course, we just saw CEO of Ripple Labs talking about this on television. XRP, of course, the CEO of XRP, talking about, the CEO of Ripple Labs and what they're doing with Ethereum. What they're doing with XRP. Got my coins mixed up here. And whether or not they're a security. Like, that's the lawsuit they're filing. They're fighting right now against the SEC. He was just on TV just a few minutes ago. And I want to play that for you so you get a sense of where this XRP trial, how XRP could be affected by this Ripple trial. And is it going to go the way of Ripple or will it go the SEC's way?
With that, so to speak, in that you might be more like a security than a currency, and that's still pending. So just talk in general about all regulation and how it might affect you and Ripple even differently than it would affect Bitcoin.
Well, I think what you're getting at the core really is in the United States, there has been a lack of regulatory clarity. This is something I've been talking about even on CNBC for about 2+ years. In other countries you have seen in the UK, Japan, Switzerland, Singapore, I mean, these are, you know, G20 markets where they have invested the time and energy either through legislation or rulemaking to provide that clarity and that certainty. And that allows investors to participate, that allows entrepreneurs to build, that allows people to build companies that make the CNBC disruptor list. So here in the United States, we haven't had that clarity. I think, just to correct something you said, Ripple actually doesn't control XRP. XRP is an open source technology, very analogous to Bitcoin. In contrast, XRP is very efficient in terms of speed of transaction. It is a carbon neutral blockchain. So these are all examples of it being more efficient, but all of the XRP that has ever been created has already been created. So it's a zero inflation dynamic. But the core of what you're talking about around regulation, I think, is what we're experiencing here in the US with the SEC. The SEC is making the assertion that these are investment contracts, that Ripple's sales of XRP to our customers is actually an investment contract. And, you know, a security is something where when you buy it, you own part of a company. You have a right to the profits. You can vote on the board of directors of that company. All of those things that are, you know, certainly CNBC covers in depth. That isn't true with XRP. You know, if you buy XRP, you don't have a ownership of Ripple. And I mean, ironically, you actually have XRP owners who have tried to sue the SEC for even bringing the case.
Brad, what's the total number? It's billions, obviously. And you do have a lot that hasn't been mined yet and can control when some of it is mined.
So, again, not a security. Although that's what the SEC is saying, because so many of the Ripple owners had, so much of the company, and that when they're selling those, when they're selling that, they had more than 50%. That's where they got into trouble, and that's where the SEC is coming down. I mean, we'll see what happens with XRP. Here's XRP right now, and it's just sort of waiting, chilling here to see what happens with this Ripple lawsuit. It's been hovering around this dollar. It's a four-hour chart, so it's up around 150. It's been now. This might be a great buying opportunity on XRP. So keep an eye on XRP. A lot of bullish activity on this coin as we await what happens with the SEC. A lot of people think, hey, if they get anything, it's just going to be a slap on the wrist for Ripple. And that'll be it. And that's when XRP is just going to explode. So you're looking to, keep your eye on this and track it and chart it and see, pay attention to the news. I wouldn't be doing anything or putting my life savings in XRP at this moment until we have some clear data about what's going to happen from this court case. And we know where that judge comes down on this. So where are we in the cycle right now? Let's look at Bitcoin. The big question, the driver of them all, 39,000 right now. And again, running in parallel is Ethereum. The charts are almost the exact same right now. Exact same. It's kind of crazy. Actually, it's not crazy. They always run this way. But what's funny is to see all of these other altcoins, a lot of them have the same exact pattern right now. So this sort of inverse head and shoulders pattern. And there are people, if you watched our show yesterday, pull this up here. If you watched our show yesterday, I showed you this pattern and I told you to be cautious. And we saw this happen. I told you that this is the inverse head and shoulders pattern. Once you start understanding these technical analysis patterns, and it doesn't take very much time. You can read the technical analysis book for dummies. I'll show you that book. It's a good book to pick up. Don't let the name throw you off. It's not a big deal. Like, don't be put off. Like, I'm a dummy because I'm buying this book. No, it's a technical analysis for dummies. Pick it up on Kindle or whatever, on Apple Books or whatever, and just learn it. Learn these patterns. Once you understand a few of these patterns, you can really start to make a lot of money. So yesterday on the show, we were charting and I was showing you what was happening with Bitcoin. In my opinion, again, I'm not a financial advisor. You need to chart your own things and pay attention to it yourself. But this is what I was seeing. So, and by the way, I hope you're in my Telegram group, my channel, because I talked about that this morning. You can go to morninginvest.com/telegram and I post different thoughts that I'm seeing in the markets, things, news items that are coming across to me. I post them there. So this is this inverse head and shoulders pattern, right? You got this left shoulder, you got the head, you got the right shoulder, okay? And what I told yesterday is, see that blue line that we drew during the show? You got to wait for it to break out of this pattern line, right? And what happened? It did. So that's a perfect opportunity to now, okay, we're out of that pattern. That's a perfect opportunity to, buy more Bitcoin or just wait to take profits. So I already owned Bitcoin. I bought back over in here somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm sitting there in profits now. I waited till this. I was hoping that it might hit 41. I was hoping maybe it would hit maybe even 42, right? So I'm in TradingView. That's where I'm charting here. I could set an alert right here, set an alert. So I'm standing there having coffee and I got an alert, boom, that it just passed 40. It passed 40,000. So I got an alert. And then I started paying closer attention to this. So what happened? It broke through this pattern. It broke out on the uptrend. But I knew that we had this other support line over here. So this is the previous support and resistance. So the chances of it going any higher than this are very slim. Okay. So what you'll probably see happen is it's going to, hit maybe 41, maybe we're seeing where it is right now. It's at 39. So I sold it just about almost to hit 41 this morning. That's when I sold my Bitcoin. And now what I expect will happen, in my opinion, is it's going to bounce. It could bounce here, stop, go back up, or more likely, could go back down to this support line here. And that's an opportunity to buy back in. This is not an opportunity. I don't want people to be scared, but this is an opportunity when this starts to go down now. Okay. I hope you took profits up here, right? Maybe if you want to sell out like 50%, 25%, whatever you're going to do to take profits. So David is a good example, right? You bought in at like 37.
Yep.
So David bought in at 37. He bought in around here. But he already owned some that he bought in at like 41 before, like maybe over here or something, right? Okay, so he's got like maybe 50% of his portfolio he bought at 41, 50% of it he bought at 37,000. Well, if I'm not giving him advice, because I'm not a financial advisor, but if I were in that position, what I would do is this 37,000 bag that he bought, it rises up to here. He made, now this is all profit that I'm selling out here. Okay, now the 41,000, like, yeah, okay, he's back to kind of near where he was. Is he going to sell that? I don't know. You could if you want to. Maybe break even if that's what you want to do. But we're going to be back. So what I would do personally, so I would wait to ride this back. And then what I might even do is, okay, now that he bought in at 37 before, now we're down here at maybe 32. And if you look at actually some of the data, I'll show you this. This is a pretty interesting piece. There's some analysts that believe we could be hitting, we could be going down as far as 20. Where's my Safari tab? Here we go. So take a look at this. I'm seeking alpha. As I warned my readers in my previous article, Bitcoin has collapsed 50% since its 65 peak during the last 3 weeks. My target price for Bitcoin is 15,000 to 20,000 during the next few weeks. The party is over, and investors should consider liquidating anything related to Bitcoin or short it. Okay. That's what they think. They think it isn't a safe haven or a store of value or a hedge against inflation, but a speculative token that can go down to 50% in 1 week. Okay. So if you think that that's the case, well, prepare. I think, based on the data, that we're going to see a retrace. What am I doing here? And we're going to head back. Can I get my trading view up here? Click tanks. There we go. Sorry, folks. There we go. So I think, you know, this is where we want to pay attention to this data. Like, is this going to be an extended right shoulder pattern here? Maybe. Or is it going to continue, you know, is it going to continue down here? Will it hit 32 again? And bounce? Will it stop here and go back up? But these are the patterns we need to watch. This is where it gets exciting, where you can make a lot of money, because each time, you know, some people call this farming, right? Or tax loss harvesting or whatever you want to call it. But like the tax story I just told you, okay, so I buy here, rises up, I can sell here again. Goes down here. I wait till it breaks out and I buy again here. Okay. And each time what you're doing is you're being able to get into Bitcoin at a price that we haven't been able to get into. Remember, Bitcoin was at 65. You know, Bitcoin was at 65,000. So what you're able to do now is you're able to get into Bitcoin at much lower prices and ride this thing all the way up where there are price targets at 100,000. So again, we called this yesterday, not giving anybody a pat on the back. These are just patterns. That's all this is. So when I saw, you know, you can see this inverse head and shoulders pattern, and I saw what was going to happen. And sure enough, after yesterday's show, it started going up, going up, going up, and it hit, you know, this morning 40, almost at 41. And now it's sitting at, let me do reload here. And it's at 39.1. So this is when you can take profits if you want to. I mean, unless you're sitting there thinking, wow, this thing is going to hit, you know, 50, 60 in the next few weeks. I don't see it. And I see it's already dropping to 38. So if you want to make a little profits on that 37,000 that you bought, I don't know how, you know, what volume you bought, but, you know, maybe selling at that same volume so that you're realizing profits. And then, by the way, that's helping you make back some of the money you lost before. And then you can rinse and repeat on these cycles and just continue to make money. And that's how you do it.
Just so you know,
my friends,
I created a disclaimer cam. So when you have your financial disclaimer.
Should I do it?
Yeah, go for it.
Is it? I am not a financial advisor.
For some reason, it's like throwing a comment up there, though. I can't figure out.
You know, so some of these meme stocks also. GameStop, and I don't know how many of you guys have been investing in AMC or GameStop, but these meme stocks have also bounced back quite strong. I mean, just looking at GameStop today, it's kind of crazy. Well, AMC, let's look at GameStop first. Jumping more than 16% as they continue to roar higher. I think one of the big stories actually happens to be the fact that, although I don't see them even talking about it, to me it was a big deal, but like even this Yahoo Finance piece, they don't really talk about it. They're saying they're hitting highs just as investors are shifting back into retail favorites. Okay. Could it be other reasons? Like, I think it could be this, which is that GameStop is planning to build an NFT platform on Ethereum. I think it's a big deal. So GameStop is going to build an NFT platform on Ethereum. Okay. They're thinking outside the box. It closed 46% above its lowest close so far in May. And Bitcoin is down 35%. So you would actually made more money right now investing in GameStop than Bitcoin. Also AMC. AMC up as well. 13%. 2% since as of May 26th at 10 a.m. up 2% already. So AMC, I don't know. A lot of people taking bets on people going back to movie theaters. I guess it's going to happen. I mean, right now, everything is sold out. I mean, you can't even get rental cars. When's the last time you've been to a movie?
Like a theater?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like a theater.
Like since before D-Day? Like when they're like, you can't go anywhere anymore.
That long ago?
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Doug S says, figures the GameStop rockets right after I sold mine after holding it for 4 months. Yeah. You know, Frank DeLeo says, I'm not a financial advisor as he sips his scotch and tokes his stogie. I am not a financial advisor. This is not scotch. This is iced coffee. And I don't smoke, but I could pretend I do.
I don't smoke, but I play one on TV.
But
I'm not a smoker, but I play one on TV. That's what I meant.
Oh, brother. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. A little crazy day today that... Amazon buying MGM Studios, Trump grand jury getting set up, prosecutors in the criminal probe convening a grand jury to weigh potential charges against Trump. It's going to be an indictment summer. Get your popcorn, folks. Did he and his executives, you know, lie about taxes? Did they overinflate the property values so that they could get bank loans and then underinflate them to pay less taxes? See. We shall see. Ford stock also. Let's check in on Ford. I want to see this here before you open up some super chats. I own some Ford stock. I said, you know, I'm into these companies that have been around forever. Ford is up. So nice. I'm making some money on Ford. So Ford stock up this morning on their EV announcements. They're investing $30 billion into electric vehicle technology. So by 2025, like that's the goal through these next few years, they'll be spending $30 billion in the production of electronic vehicles and batteries and so forth. I mean, their Ford F-150 Lightning, with that battery that you can charge your house, or you can run your house off of your car battery. Tesla, come on, where are you, man? That's why there's a lot of bears who are not a big fan of Tesla are thinking like that could be a real big sign of trouble for Tesla. Let's see. But Ford up nice. I bought in at Ford around $11, so it's up to $13.56 today. That's where it's at the moment. Hey, let me tell you about our friends over at Audible.com. Do you like audiobooks? Do you like learning? Well, if you're not into learning, then why are you even listening to my show? So we teach you, but there's some great financial books that you can get just for trying out Audible and giving it a try for free for 30 days. Yeah. That's what you got to do. You can try it for free for 30 days. And I'm going to tell you about what Audible is. If you've never heard of Audible, or you're just, you're not, maybe you heard about it years ago, you don't know what they now have available. They have their entire Plus catalog, which is just, they just rolled out, which makes Audible membership so much more valuable than just like getting a book. They've got Words Plus, music series, a podcast you've never considered before. They've got huge exclusives. Audible is exciting to offer members an exciting new way to explore their interests with the included Plus catalog. Audiobooks are amazing. And don't think of, you know, audiobooks are all Audible has to offer, because they've got guided wellness programs as well, theatrical performances, A-list comedies, exclusive Audible originals that you won't find anywhere else. Like, are you an X-Files fan? Anybody like X-Files? So Audible has some originals that they did with David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. And they did an Audible exclusive where they did their own new stories, X-Files stories, with those actors voicing the character. Super cool. So they've got a lot of great stuff. You can work anytime. You can listen anytime on your phone, download it on the app, your computer. You can listen on your in-home, like, you know, Echo, Amazon Echo, all of that stuff. And it picks up where you left off. Like if you were out on a run and you were listening to a book, you can come back home and just say, you know, Amazon Echo, play my audiobook. And boom, it'll just pick up right where you left off and start playing. You can get more stories, information. It's great. So try it right now. I want you to try it free for 30 days. Go to audible.com/invest, or you can text the word invest to 500-500. That's 500-500. Text the word invest. You can try it free for 30 days. And you've got to do it. You've got to do it. Audible.com/invest. And by the way, I have a book. I don't know if you know that. I wrote a book. Natalie and I wrote a book. It's called How to Pay Off Your Mortgage in 5 Years. And we have an audio version. So you can do the audio, and you can get it for free just by trying it. If you're interested in how to learn more about mortgages and finance, go to Amazon and get that. Just go to audible.com/invest. And big fan of everything Audible. I want to listen to this new Andy Weir book, by the way, that just came out. Did you see this new one? He wrote, Andy Weir wrote, what was the book that he wrote? The Martian.
Oh, yeah, I really like that book and movie.
Yeah. This is his newest one, just came out. And it's number one this week. So and it's great. Narrator Ray Porter does the narration. But you can get this and listen to it on Audible. Lone astronaut must save Earth from disaster in this incredible new science-based thriller from the number one New York Times best-selling author of The Martian. That's awesome. I'm going to check that out as well. So our thanks to Audible. Awesome, everyone. Thanks for a great show today. Again, hopefully you're a subscriber to the channel. When you subscribe to the channel, you want to turn on that little bell notification on the channel, because that helps us send out alerts to you. I just want to keep talking. I got so much so much news happening. I love catching up with you guys, and there's so many things going on. I feel like the moment I jump off here, there's going to be all kinds of breaking news with these CEOs in front of the testifying in front of Congress today and craziness. Anyway, I got to go chart some patterns. I'm going to go sell some crypto, buy some crypto. And
is that the new way of saying you got to go to the bathroom? Hey, I'll be right back. I got to go chart some patterns.
I got to go chart some patterns. I got to go see a man about a horse. I got to go water the grass. What are some other... Anybody in the chat, can you guys think of other ones? I got to go see a man about a horse, right?
That's the one.
It's not I got to go water a horse.
Yeah, no. I have to go see a man about a horse. Got to drop the kids off at the pool. I've heard that one.
I've heard it's worst. In the 1980s, I heard worse, by the way. Asia Lackey says, I got to go job hunting now. Good luck on that. I couldn't have all that. Brooke Jones says, I couldn't have all that. I'm not even a diabetic and I'd go into sugar shock. Yeah, me too. No way. Can't touch that stuff. When I was a kid, I could probably try it. No way. Not anymore. I got to go water the horse. Got to go pump and dump.
I'm prairie dogging.
Oh, prairie dog. Oh, man. We went down a rabbit hole. Turtle peeking. Oh, man. Got to go see the dog. Yeah. That's officially the end of the show. All right, everyone. Love you guys. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. We'll see you back here bright and early to morning. To morning at 9 a.m. Remember, I'm not a financial advisor. Peace, everyone.